attendance, what is the acceptable? But it's worth an exercise. It's not just about passing. It's also about continuing to increase the knowledge. Honorable Gordon Wafis also has also apologized. Honorable Lieg has apologized. But I think we should start. We are almost 15 minutes late into our program. We are taking a presentation from National Treasury on the merchant shipping administration bill and the merchant shipping. Contribution bill. It's a very long title. We have Ms. Skuro from National Treasury is going to do the seat and do the presentation. She's all by herself. And then I think we then take questions for clarity and comments afterwards. We are in your hands. Earlier on when I arrived, I said, what has National Treasury to do with shipping? Well, she responded, I won't tell you what she said. But the fact that the bill is here, it means a very important part of the economy. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to do a briefing on these two bills. Firstly, to indicate, as you would be aware, that these bills are still draft bills that have not been formally introduced in the National Assembly. The one bill being a money bill must be formally tabled by the Minister of Finance in the House. Now, the presentation, I'll briefly deal with some background because it's important to understand the link with two bills that's been dealt with by the Transport Committee of the National Assembly, but it passed the National Assembly, it's now with the NCOP. And then also, I'll briefly deal with the process regarding these two bills that's before this will come before this committee. And then also one key area that underpins both bills is how the contributions will be paid to an international fund and the role of SARS in collecting that levy. And then I'll go into some details on the contributions bill and then the administration bill. I'll jump to the end. Now, firstly, there's two bills that's dealt with or promoted by the Minister of Transport, and it has a similar name, which is very long, but it's the practice with the merchant shipping bills, and it's called the Merchant Shipping International Operation International Public Compensation Fund bill. Now, this bill was developed together with the Contributions Administration bills that we are dealing with today. Now, this fund bill aims to enact into law a particular international agreement. It's a protocol of 1992, which essentially provides for international fund for compensation of oil pollution damage. And then there's another bill that's dealt with by the Minister of Transport, and that's called the Merchant Shipping Civil Liability Convention Bill. Now, this bill aims to enact into law another protocol of 1992, which amends the International Convention on the Civil Liability for Oil Pollution Damage. Now, the fund and the civil liability bills were introduced by the Minister of Transport. It's already been passed by the National Assembly in September, and it's now before the NCOP. But you will note there the numbers of those bills. Now, these four bills is a package that deals with liability and compensation for damage caused by spills from oil tankers. Now, in terms of the Civil Liability Convention, first is my claim compensation from registered ship owners for oil pollution damage suffered in a territory or an exclusive economic zone of the contracting state. Now, in essence, the claims are not against the ship owner itself, but it's they're compelled to take out liability insurance, so the claims are from insurers. Now, there is limitation on insurance that is possible, so there is a limited liability for ship owners where applicable. Now, the Fund Convention established the International Oil Pollution Compensation Fund, which provides for compensation for victims for oil pollution, which is not fully compensated or not compensated in terms of the mentioned Civil Liability Convention. So the bills that's before the Transport NCOP Committee, or dealing with transport matters, the one deals with the Civil Liability Convention, which deals with claims against ship owners for oil pollution, and the other bill deals with the Fund Convention, which established the International Oil Pollution Compensation Fund to cover for expenditure incurred or compensation for victims if not fully compensated or not compensated at all under the Civil Liability Convention. Now, the fund, the International Oil Pollution Fund, is funded by contributions levied from persons who are received in a particular calendar year more than the specified metric tons of specific type of oil. Now, I'll explain a bit more about that when we deal with the contributions bill. So that's how the fund is obtains money from which victims can then claim compensation for things that were not fully compensated under the Civil Liability Convention. To come to the contributions and administration bills, and the process after the bills were approved by Cabinet, it was published for comment. Now, there is a very long process regarding these bills, but it was felt that we need to publish the bills because the approach changed substantially from what was initially proposed. So, therefore, we did publish. We received comments from the SA Petroleum Industry Association. Now, a number of comments raised by this association were incorporated into the draft bills because we felt that it simplified the process or the provisions of the bill. As indicated earlier, the contributions bill is a money bill, and it's envisaged that it will be tabled in the National Assembly on the 24th of October. Now, both these bills were already certified by the state law advisors, and the copies that you've been that were sent to you are the versions that were certified by the state law advisors. Now, it's important to note that these draft bills, the two, together with the civil liability and fund bills that's currently before the NCOP, should, if adopted by Parliament and signed into law by the President, commence on the same date. Now, this is possible if all four bills are passed, and the date of commencement will be determined by proclamation by the President. Now, to come to the underlying principles regarding both bills is that the draft bill proposed collection of contributions by South African public institution, in this case SARS, for the International Fund, which is the International Oil Pollution Compensation Fund, in terms of the mentioned international agreements, instead of the International Fund collecting directly from persons in South Africa. And then also it imposes an obligation on governments to pay the contributions to the fund. So the contributions are paid by government, but then there's a levy imposed on persons that are liable to pay to recover the funds, in essence, that the government paid over to the International Oil Pollution Fund. And it's important to note that this model where government pay money over to the International Fund is provided for in the Convention, where it is stated that the contracting state may assume obligations of persons liable to contribute to the fund. And then also important to note, there will be administrative costs for SARS to administer this levy, but this will be catered for in SARS budget proposals, so the cost will not be imposed on persons liable to pay the levy. To do with the contributions bill, now the contributions bill imposes a levy payable by affected persons. Now the affected persons is persons who are during a tax period. And we'll see in the bill we use the concept of tax period because that's aligned to the Tax Administration Act, and all terminology defined in the Tax Administration Act will also apply to the contributions bill. A person that received crude or fuel oil in excess of 150,000 metric tons. You also note the concept you use in the conventions and also in the Act is they use the term of contributing oil as a collective of both crude or fuel oil. And it's oil that's received in the ports or terminal installations in South Africa and carried by sea to such ports or terminal installations. And then also in any installations in South Africa and carried by sea in discharge in a port or terminal installation of a non-member state. But it's only taken into account once on the receipt in South Africa. Then there's also provision that if the aggregate of oil received in South Africa by a person and an associated person, and that's basically a subsidiary of that person, because a person could be a company, and if that exceeds 150 metric tons, then both must still pay the levy, but only on the actual oil received by them. as to the determination of the levy to be payable by such persons, it will be determined by the Minister of Finance by notice in the Gazette. And two things need to be taken into account: the contributions that are calculated and invoiced by the Director of the Oil Pollution Fund. For a particular tax period in terms of the formulation in the fund convention, which is similar to the formulation that I just mentioned about exceeding 150,000 metric tons. And then also considering the actual volume of oil imported in the tax period. Now the Minister will also in this notice specify the date on which the levy is due and payable. Now, as indicated earlier, the South African government is to pay to the fund the amount of contributions invoiced by the director of fund in respect of persons liable for a particular tax period. So it will happen in a particular, in a couple of months into the next year, payments are made for the previous financial year. And important to note that this amount that the government will pay will be, if the bill is adopted, will be paid. That is paid is a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund. And to come to the administration bill, now the administration bill contains provisions that we can't include in the money bill, and therefore a separate bill is required, which is 75 bill. And it provides for the authority and administrative arrangements that are not catered for in the Tax Administration Act of 2011. To enable SARS to fulfill the proposed function to collect the levy imposed by the contributions bill. Now, the person that's liable to pay the particular levy must apply for registration with SARS within 21 business days after they meet in the criteria which we mentioned earlier, the exceeding the metric tons in clause 2 of the contributions bill. And then upon this receipt of the application, SARS is required to register that person. Then persons liable to pay their levy must also submit a return to SARS. Now the time period and the form of that return are determined in terms of the provisions of the Tax Administration Act, so you won't see the details in the administration bill. Then SARS must also submit after receiving a return to the person liable to pay the levy a notice of assessment of the levy due. Now the payment dates, etc., is as indicated, is provided for in the contributions law. Then there's also a requirement to keep certain records in terms of the administration law. Now they must keep records and documents of import declarations required for custom purposes of all respected which the levy be payable. Also red cards and books that indicate the type and quantity of oil in respect of which the levy may be payable. Then in addition, there's also a requirement that SARS must disclose to the Minister of Finance and Minister of Transport certain information that the government is required to submit to the International Oil Pollution Fund in terms of the fund convention and also regulations issued under that convention. And then there's also a requirement on SARS to directly submit information to the Director of International Oil Pollution Fund instead of submitting it to the Minister of Finance or Transport first and then transmitting it to the director of the fund. Now, the information that is required to submit is essentially the names and addresses of people responsible to pay the levy and also details of the quantities of oil received during the particular the previous tax period, and the dates of these are stipulated in the fund convention. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honourable members, this is but an informal briefing to the committee, and in part because of the number of pieces of legislation that we have to process before we rise. There will be a due process that is going to be followed after this. But nonetheless, I think it is important if members have got questions or comments on the two bills. Judith, Honorable Chabalala, Honorable Harris, Honorable Mazamina. In that order.
Right. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation. You mentioned in page 6 that you, in terms of the process of the draft bill, that you envisage that it needs to be tabled National Assembly on the 24th of October. So I need to know which 24th, probably is next year, but if you can get clarity on that. The issue of the oil spills and oil tankers, as in when it happens, as far as insurance is concerned, what is the relationship with the road accident fund? Therefore, as much as you are doing a fund on it, but therefore what becomes the relationship with it? Because we're speaking about claimants, for people to be able to claim for liability and all that, but what becomes the, you know, the relationship with it? Lastly, what is the relationship between the civil liability and the fund bill, if I can get the relationship? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. The is this structure where SARS collects from the relevant parties and then submits to the International Fund? Is that a common approach internationally, or are there many jurisdictions where the fund simply collects from persons directly? Why have you chosen to take that approach rather than simply allowing the fund to collect from firms that would be liable within South Africa? And then secondly, up until these bills are enacted, am I correct to say if there was a significant damage from an oil spill and we weren't able to claim back from the company, that we would then be out of pocket without these bills in place? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to the National Treasury. I do understand, Chair, that this is an informal briefing. However, though, it's a briefing that is creating so much confusion in my head. First and foremost, I just don't get the objections of the bill. why must we have this amendment? It was because of what? To move to point what? And gain what? That is the first thing. And then secondly, if you look at the presentation says SARS will foot the cost. As you go along, then you realize that yes, SARS will foot the cost because they will be actually doing the work. They will be doing all the administration work. And you see after SARS has done that, the amounts are being channeled to the international oil pollution. Now, who is SARS now? Is SARS going to be a collector for the international? And when it goes to this director, who is this director? Where is this, what this director has got to do with us, South Africans? Because now the fund is sitting, it's an international fund. Now, if I can be clarified, then the chair, maybe I will understand, and so that when you go to the really, real recommendations of the bill, then there's a better understanding. And also maybe to clarify, when Treasury says contributions bill is a money bill, what is that? What are we saying there? We talk about persons. Persons. We're not talking about firms here. We're talking about persons. Are we looking at individuals there? Or can we get the definition of, if you say, look at your definitions, trying to get persons. It says associated persons on the definition, but on the presentation it talks about persons. So, Che, I think you're right. It's an informal, but we'll appreciate if we can have, you know, a complete rather content. Thank you, Chair.
What do you, ma'am?
Thank you very much for the questions. The first question is as to the intended date of tabling of the money bill. It's 2013, not 2014. Because we hope that the bills will be passed this year. Because the transport goals, as I indicated, are more advanced, they're already before the NCOP. then as to the link between oil spills and the Road Insurance Accident Fund, there is no direct link, because road accident deals obviously with different matters, but the underlying principles are not similar, because you can claim from the Road Accident Fund for certain monies that you're not paid for by the person responsible for the accident. So it is a sort of backup cover, if I may say. But in this case, the fund is an international fund and not a fund administered in terms of South African law. So it's an international fund where there's a number of contracting states. Given that oil are moved by sea from one country to another, and there's obviously other countries that also contribute to this fund. Then the relationship between the civil liability bill and the fund bill. The civil liability bill is the one that that provides that the ship owner through an insurer or is liable to pay for compensation for oil spills. So that is what's in the civil liability bill. But there is some limitations that's possible. So not all your damage will be paid in terms of the civil liability bill. And therefore, there's an international convention, which we call the Fund Convention, which is now incorporated into the fund bill, that provides, if you're not compensated fully or compensated at all, in terms of the Civil Liability Convention, you can claim money from the fund, International Oil Pollution Damage, Oil Pollution Compensation Fund, to compensate you for for what you were not paid for in terms of civil liability. Then the other question, the question about the proposal that SARS collect and then pay to the fund, it should be noted that SARS don't collect and pay it over to the international fund. The monies are paid by government directly from the National Revenue Fund, but in order to make up the liability, SARS collects the levy from relevant persons in South Africa, and that money will be paid into the National Revenue Fund. So the payments are not made directly from SARS to the International Oil Pollution Fund. The payments must be made by government. In this case, it would be National Treasury paying it from the Revenue Fund. As to the question whether this is a common approach, it is not the common approach. As far as I know, the only other country that has a similar approach is Canada. Most other countries, the persons that are liable to pay this contribution to the fund pays it directly to the fund. The view from National Treasury and SARS is that this approach should be supported, because in our view we should not encourage international organizations to come into South Africa, collect funds from South African citizens or residents. Because if there's non-payment, it also gives them authority to enforce it in South Africa. That they rather impose the obligation on the government to pay the money and then through a levy recover that money from the persons that have to contribute such funds. And then on the question of that if there's a significant oil spill today, it is correct that if, to the extent that money can't be recovered from the ship owner, there will be no recourse to request funds from the International Oil Pollution Fund in the absence of the legislation being adopted. Then on the objects of the bill, maybe we should have elaborated more on the two other bills which these two bills are linked to. I did try to at the beginning, but maybe it should have been more comprehensive. Maybe just to reiterate and expand on it, is that in terms of South Africa already acceded to two international agreements, and it's very complicated wording because it's protocols that amend existing conventions, etc. But South Africa really acceded to two conventions. The one deals with the civil liability convention, and the other one deals with the creation of the Oil Pollution Fund. And the two bills that's now promoted by the Minister of Finance provides for the enactment of these two international agreements into South African law, which is a requirement. And there's not an option where you can choose only for instance, to accept accession to the International Oil Pollution Fund. It's a package. You must accede to the Civil Liability Convention as well as the International Oil Pollution Fund. And then, as I indicated earlier, the Civil Liability Fund is the one that imposes liability on the ship owner through compulsory insurance that they must take out. And that your first claim should be against the ship owner. And then if you're not fully compensated through such insurer, then you can claim from the International Oil Pollution Fund. Now, the important question that you asked then, why do we have a money bill? Now, the money bill, since it imposes a levy, which is a form of a tax, it must be in a money bill. And follow the process of a money bill through Parliament. And it also, in addition to that, stipulates that the government will pay money directly to the fund. The liability that persons in South Africa have, they must pay that money over to the International Oil Pollution Fund. And in order to recover that money that's paid by the government, it imposes a levy on persons that were so liable to recover it, as I indicated. And so that is the essence of the contributions bill. The administration bill is basically just dealing with administration of the bill. The And as you pointed out, Honourable Member, there is SARS is to foot the cost of the bill, but we anticipate not that it will be a substantive cost. SARS is already in anticipation planning processes on how to administer the oil pollution over the contribution levy and how to implement it. But that will, as we said, the cost would not be part of the levy that's imposed on persons liable. Then the question that you ask about what is the meaning of person. Now, in terms of the interpretation, the person will include both a natural or heuristic person. So that's why we didn't define it in the bill. Now, associated persons is just used in the one particular section where you look at the, for instance, a company together with a subsidiary, who, if you look at them separately, they don't exceed the number of, or the volume of oil imported. But if you take them together, they do, and therefore they will still be liable to pay the levy. So they can't get away by creating subsidiaries and not paying the oil levy. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I have two questions. I need to get the first answer before I can ask the second. How many countries approximately are signatories of these conventions?
I'm not sure. We can send through the information if
but it's
maybe
several hundred. I mean, it's
yes. No, I think the uptake is quite good.
So then, Chair, my second question is: if hundreds of countries have signed these conventions, and every single one of them, with the exception of one, has decided that the funds are legitimately able to collect directly from eligible companies in our country, why have we taken such a contrarian view? Why are we in such a small minority that we've decided to follow the approach of the Canadians and not the approach of absolutely everybody else? I'm afraid that the argument that we don't want anyone coming here and charging money on our shores, it just doesn't cut it. You will excuse the committee for being a little bit uncertain about following an approach of one other country rather than the approach of hundreds of other countries.
Chair, on the question of us not following the majority, is that we've been, maybe we should give a list to the committee, but there's other conventions that's on its way where there's a similar approach. And in discussions with SARS, the end result of the debate was that we felt that it's more appropriate that SARS collect the levy and the government pay over the... because the fund will get the money. It's easier access because they're going to have a direct claim against government now. And to emphasize, the convention itself specifically provides for it in Article 15 that the government can do this. So this is not outside the provisions of the convention. But I understand your point in saying that we're not following the majority. And maybe subsequent to the public hearings, we can elaborate on that point if you want to, Chairperson, if required. Maybe even make a submission before the public hearings for consideration by the committee to expand on the reasoning.
Honourable Ross, followed by my
colleague. Thank you, Chair. My question is just with regards to the risk if there's a default in payments with regards to the levy and perhaps also a default in payments with regards to the insurance premium. And then the direct payment from the revenue fund. Could it not be very negative for the country in terms of the high risk that we're taking, seeing that we take the ownership in terms of payments through Treasury then?
Thank you, Chair. I would like to get a clarity here. You know, SARS will, government will put the contributions, the amounts collected, or they'll put the contributions, the government, which is the South African government, and to the international fund. When we put this money to the international fund, how we will be able to be paid back, for me, it remains a very unsure exercise, because you are saying It will depend on the levies paid by persons. Now, if we rely on that, how are we going to monitor that when we are still struggling to collect the money from our own citizens? It's a bit of a serious matter, and I'm sure one would be happy if we had a response, at least from the majority of the persons or the firms that are involved with this industry, because we see that you only got the response from the SA Petroleum, and the others didn't show any interest, and us representing the public, then we're unsure. Because we love to listen to what the public is saying. So I am really worried about the cost to the SARS. And I don't see the way how we're going to bridge that cost after the SARS has handled. Either than us allocating the budget to SARS to do the job.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is only on the draft contribution and administration bill. You said that you received only one comment, and that is from SA Petroleum Industry Association. What was their comment? Thank you.
Just on the risk, just to indicate the civil liability, there is a limitation. But then also there is a limitation on the compensation paid in terms of the International Oil Pollution Fund as well. It's not an unlimited compensation that you can claim, and it's limited to the contributions, or maybe we should expand also on in terms of what that the convention paid. But it's not like South Africa is only going to pay what persons are liable to pay in South Africa, and nothing more. There's no larger risk for the South African government. In respect of the contributions to be made to the fund. So it is a limited, and it's limited to that formula I indicated, which comes from the Oil Pollution Fund. Then as to, Madam Honourable Member, your query on SARS collecting the levy and the risk, I think it's like, obviously there's a risk in getting money from taxpayers, but there are only a few oil producers that oil receiving oil in South Africa, and these oil are imported into the country. They must come through custom and excise. So SARS will know when the oil comes into the country. So the risk of persons not, or that SARS don't know about it, is very low, unless it's illegally imported into. And given that the size of imports, it's going to be very difficult to do that. But Chair, again, with your permission, I think we need to maybe elaborate on this point and the risk involved that you raise. But in my view, the chances of persons not paying the levy is very low. And there's also, especially from this association, it's very positive. They wanted this legislation as soon as possible. And I'll now come to the comment that they made. They raised a similar comment to the Honourable Harris, where they indicated they also would prefer paying directly to the fund instead of SARS collecting the fund. And then, they said if the bills proceed, they suggested a number of changes, and some of them were simplifying the calculation of the levy and the determination thereof, and as also the process which we incorporated into the bill. But the principal approach that we, or the underlying principle that we doesn't want international organizations coming into South Africa to enforce compliance is still the position that we took, and therefore we proceeded with the bills on that basis.
Okay. I think what we should do, you should note most of those questions that have been raised. One or the other will have to find a way, because this is an unchartered terrain. You know, we're not in the transport legislative matters here. We have not been dealing with the industry as it is. Now, obviously, some of the questions that are being posed is because of lack of clarity on some of these issues. If I refer back to the question of Honorable Madlamin, who says, is this an amendment or is this a new bill? Where are we moving from and where are we getting to? Basically, it's what is it that we're trying to strengthen in terms of the industry as it is. And probably from where I'm sitting, the fact that we'd have less comments from stakeholders, it is in the nature of the industry. It's almost like it's a cartel, if one wants to put it that way. We'll have state dominance, and we'll have players that will be playing, which are not necessarily resident companies in South Africa, you know, those kind of things. But I think what we should do, Honourable Member, is to accept the presentation. What we may need to determine is whether we'd wait for the formal referral of these bills by the House to the committee before we solicit public input. But because of time frames that were short space of time that we have, we may allow as a committee that the committee secretary should actually publish and solicit public comments even before it is officially tabled, so that when it's referred to us, we have some sort of information from the public on how we need to entertain this particular piece of legislation or bill. So that would be my take and proposal for the committee to say, let's note and allow the normal processes to unfold, but factor in the fact that we don't have all the time in the world. We are left with 5 weeks, basically, 3 weeks for plenary, 2 weeks for committees combined. If that is in order, Honorable Members, then we can move to the next presentation by Advocate Jenkins and allow National Treasury people or representatives to leave. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
5 minutes next break.
There's fresh tea outside.
It's old enough.